But if it was within somehow or other, if the rapture was within that last week, it would be nestled in somewhere among all of these little signposts, whether it's mid-trib, post-trib, or whatever it is, it would be nestled in among all the little signposts where you would know, well, either if it's mid-trib, then it's got to happen right when the two raptured witnesses rise from the dead. That's got to be the day of the rapture. And you'd be right. And if it's post-trib, it's got to happen the day Jesus returns to fight the battle of Armageddon. And you would be right. That's when it would have to be. But if it's pre-trib, then you don't know. Because if it trips the time, the running of the clock, and the clock begins to run, then it can be any time. As long as the stage is set. Now, the stage has to be set, obviously. There have to be, you know, one would think there has to be a temple and all of this because you 7 years is not very much time. All right. Now, when I started talking about the pillars, I did not include the timing of the rapture as one of the pillars, but as we've discussed these various topics, it's become increasingly clear to me that the pillars or guideposts that we have identified lead, to me anyway, inexorably to the conclusion that the rapture must precede the last of the 70 weeks, that it must be the tripwire. Otherwise, it would be obvious. Now, here's another thing, that all of the end time events are like the links in a chain. They are all linked together. And they all depend on one another. First one happens, then the other happens, then another thing happens, then another thing happens, then another thing happens. And they're all linked together. So that once it begins to run, you just bang, 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 bang. And there's no variation. You can't stop there. All right. Now, this may not be all that important, but I think maybe it is. The word rapture is from the Latin word rapio. It means to take by violence or by force. It is the root word for the word rape. It is sometimes said that the word rapture is not in the Bible. Well, if rapture is a Latin word, where would one expect to find Latin scriptures? In a Latin Bible. And there we find it. In the Vulgate, which was translated from the Greek and Hebrew by St. Jerome in the 5th century. The word rapture is in the Latin Bible in various places. Acts chapter 8, verse 39. The Spirit of the Lord raptured away Philip. Philip was raptured. Right. He was caught away. It means to take by force, with violence and force. Philip was walking along. He baptized the Ethiopian. He came up out of the water. Zap!
Gone. 6 miles.
Yeah, he's gone. Now, just because you're raptured doesn't necessarily mean you get your glorified body at that point. But it does mean that you've taken by force and not of your own, on your own power. You're taken by another power, by the power of God. You are ripped out of one place and sent down someplace else. All right, another place, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. Paul was talking about his experience. And he said, I knew a person in Christ, such a one was raptured. The word there is raptum, and that's the word for rapture. And then a couple of verses later, he says it again. Quoniam raptus est in paradise. How that he was raptured up into paradise. So there's three times. One, two, three times. Then there's a fourth time. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Deendi nos qui vivimus qui reliquimur simul rapiamur.
Wow.
Rapiamur. Mm-hmm. Cum illis in nubibus obvium Christo in error. Et sic semper cum domino primus. Then we which are alive and remain shall be raptured together with them in the clouds to meet Christ in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then there's a great, this one I love in Revelation chapter 12, verse 5. Et raptus est filius. And the woman's child was raptured.
That's awesome.
Caught up. All right, so there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times the word rapture actually appears. And there was another time. Here's another time. Matthew 11 and 12. Et violenti rapiunt illud. And the violent take it by force.
Wow, right.
The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent rapture it.
Thank you.
They take it by force.
That is awesome.
That's, so there you go. There's the word rapture. Don't let anybody tell you the word rapture is not in the Bible. Of course it's in the Bible. May not be in your Bible.
Not the kingdom.
But it, that's right. Jesus didn't have to speak English.
There's been several languages since then.
English wasn't even a language back in them days. All right, now here's an important concept. That without the rapture, there would be no resurrection. You cannot have a resurrection without a rapture because they're simultaneous events. In a matter of, as a matter of fact, all saints will be raptured, whether they're dead or alive, at the coming of the Lord. And you've got to rapture a dead person, because that dead person can't go anywhere. He ain't going anywhere. So if he goes anywhere, you got to take him by force. Amen. So all of the dead are going to be raptured. They're going to be jerked up out of the ground, bam, like that. As we are jerked up off the ground, and we'll go up together to be with the Lord in the air, in the twinkling of an eye. We're all raptured. We're not all resurrected, but we're all raptured. Without a rapture, there ain't no resurrection. And Paul said, look, people, now here's where rapture, here's where it's a heaven or hell issue. This is your heaven and hell issue. You must believe in the rapture. You must. Or you can't be saved. All right, now here's why.
Oh.
Here's why.
Hang on, brother.
You must believe in the rapture.
Hang on, brother.
Or you can't be saved.
Hang on, brother.
Hang on.
Let me read you some scripture. Let me read you some scripture.
We're going to have a lot on that.
All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul is going to give you some explanation.
What was it?
1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 18. All right. There were some folks going around in Paul's day preaching crazy stuff about end times. Crazy stuff. There were some folks saying back in those days that the resurrection of the dead had happened already. Well, don't laugh, because people today are saying really crazy stuff about the rapture.
Some of them say the same thing.
Yeah, some of them say the same thing. All right. But so Paul says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Some people were saying there was no resurrection. There's not going to be any resurrection. Of course, we know that the Sadducees didn't believe in a resurrection.
So they're sad, you see,
of course. They're very sad. But Jesus said, how is it, if Christ is preached that he rose from the dead, then how in the world can any of you say there's no resurrection from the dead? Here it is. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then Christ is not raised.
There's no salvation.
And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. and they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished.
Oh my goodness.
That's bad, ain't it?
That's pretty strong.
Yeah, what I was talking about was rapture before the 7-year tribulation. That's what I thought.
You were talking about pre-trib. Okay.
That's what I thought. I do believe the rapture.
All right.
But
I
was fixing to make an argument about
okay.
that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm glad we got that straight.
No,
I know about the rapture.
I'm
becoming a pre-tribber.
All right. You must believe in the rapture to be saved, Paul said. Now, here's why. Because without the rapture, there is no resurrection.
That's right.
And you can't believe, you can't be a Christian without believing in the resurrection of the dead. Right. Because if there's no resurrection of the dead, Christ is still in the grave.
Yeah.
We are victims of a fraud. We are still in our sin.
Yeah.
It's all right.
We must believe in the rapture,
the resurrection from the dead
to be saved.
I believe.
We must.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Now the rapture just means that the dead and the living will both be taken out of here by force and by violence. When that trumpet sounds, we are coming
Hallelujah.
Out and we are going up, and there's no power on earth that can slow us down.
Amen. Glory, glory, glory.
Ain't no grave gonna hold us down.
Amen.
Ain't no devil gonna hold us down.
Amen.
Glory to God, we're going up.
Going up.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes, come Lord
Jesus.
All right,
now, got that established. It is sometimes taught by some highly respected Bible teachers that the rapture is not in the Old Testament. Really? Are you serious?
They're not reading their Bible.
Is the rapture in the Old Testament? Yes.
Yeah.
Let me show you where. Let me count the ways.
13.
Isaiah 26, verses 19 through 21. Is Isaiah in the Old Testament?
It is.
Well, I believe it is. It's in my Old Testament.
26.
Isaiah 26, verses 19 through 21. Thy dead men shall live.
Glory.
Together with my dead body shall they arise. Are we talking about a resurrection?
We are.
Well, we're talking about a resurrection. Because the dead don't come out by themselves. They were talking about the rapture.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Right. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. Can there be any doubt that we're talking about the resurrection from the dead? Then we're talking about the rapture. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Now here's the part I like. Come, my people.
Yes.
Enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, a little moment until the indignation or the wrath is past.
Hallelujah.
Do you get that? That's right. Somebody say pre-trib. Pre-trib. Come up here. He didn't say go somewhere. He said come up here.
Come up here
and hide yourself a little while. Like for 7 years.
Yeah.
Hide yourself for a little while.
Hallelujah.
Until my wrath that I'm going to pour out on the earth is past.
Thank you, Jesus.
Back in.
That's
Isaiah 26, verses 19 through 21. That's 20. Now, I'm not done yet.
Come on now.
21 says, "For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain."
Hallelujah. We love you,
Lord. But while this is going on, his beloved is in a hidden place.
Jeez.
Man, that is
hiding.
Jeez. That's not mistaken.
Jeez.
All right, now there's more.
Hallelujah. Right. Give to us.
The Amplified Bible says, "Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide for a little while until the Lord's wrath is past."
Glory, glory.
The Message Bible says, come, my people, go home and shut yourselves in. Go into seclusion for a while until the punishing wrath is past. Because God is sure to come from his place to punish the wrong of the people on earth. I don't know. You can look it up on Bible Gateway and figure it out. Now, here's what I love in Zechariah 14 and 6. All right. Now this one may catch you here.
What was the
Zechariah 14, 6. Somebody get me Zechariah 14. Does anybody I know you
King James?
Does anybody have anything besides the King James?
I got an American Standard.
You got an American Standard? Somebody got a new King James?
Yeah.
I want to hear what the new King James says. What's the new King James?
14:6. Y'all
don't scream
scary on reading.
We might. I'm telling you what. We had a fun, sister.
Okay. Isaiah 14:6.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, Zechariah.
14:6. Here it goes. Okay, verse 6. It shall come to pass in that day that there will be no light. The lights will diminish. Is that right?
Yeah.
Zechariah.
That's right. That's okay. Give me the King James. What does the King James say?
And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark.
Wow. Okay.
Well,
somebody have.
Like a controversy. I mean, they conflict.
What'd you say?
American Standard.
The American Standard. All right. Give it. Lay it on us there, brother.
Oh, let me pull it back up. I was reading out the King James light.
Zechariah 14.
Yep. I'm going there.
King James.
Well, while you're looking that up, I got to get me some coffee.
All right.
I'm going to read it while you're going to get some.
Go ahead.
And it shall come to pass in that day that there shall be no, shall not be light. The bright ones shall withdraw themselves.
Whoa!
Wait a minute. Read it again.
And it shall come to pass. You need to explain her about how the word and everything, man. Each verse can have 70 meanings.
Yeah.
And it shall come to pass in that day that there shall be not be light. The bright ones shall withdraw themselves.
All right.
That is bad right there.
That's very close. That's very close to my translation.
I ain't going to be here.
That's very close to my translation. The Hebrew can and does say this also. It shall come to pass in that day that it shall not be light. The precious ones shall be withdrawn.
Boy, that's bad. In what translation is that?
That's mine.
That is mine. Is that Brother Mike's translation?
That is mine. The Hebrew can say that, yes.
Okay.
And your translation hinted at it is very close to that.
Yeah.
Instead of the precious ones withdrawing themselves, the precious ones shall be withdrawn, or the precious ones shall withdraw.
It says the bright ones.
Right.
Here.
The bright ones.
Right.
We are the light of the world.
That's the light.
That's awesome.
The Hebrew is susceptible of various translations, and they can all be right. They can all be right. That's the rabbis used to say that there are 70 correct interpretations of every Hebrew scripture. 70. And you have to realize that when they wrote the scriptures, they wrote them without capital letters, without punctuation marks, and no chapters and no verses.
Yeah.
And all of the sentences ran together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it depended on where you broke the sentence. And they would do that sometimes. The rabbis it's the genius of the Hebrew language.
Amen.
For example, they could put so much into one word. For example, the name Ruth, for example, It's a resh vav tav is the way you spell it. Ruth. There is no such word. Now, you know, in Hebrew, words, names mean something. They actually have a mean. They actually have they're a word for something. Ruth, actually, that spelling is not really a word. You need one of two other letters to make it to be really a word. Both of those letters are silent. If you use an ayin in there, it means a friend, a woman friend. And if you use an aleph, both of which are silent, then it means beauty, a real looker. Now, so they left out both of those letters on purpose to bring in the widest possible meaning. So what the word Ruth means is a beautiful woman friend.
Wow.
A beautiful friend. It means both things. Now, if they had gone with one letter or the other, then you eliminate the other. Mm-hmm. But see, they left them out. It's the genius of the language that they could leave out one necessary letter so that you can pronounce it, and it means it's like poetry to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. One thing that I know, years ago, I was so deadlocked into the King James Version, you know. And yes, what it did, it shut off so much of the word to me. Because I felt like, here's like you said, well, we look for one translation.
Yes.
And that's what I look for.
That but is so un-Jewish. So
and when you begin to look at how it opens up the scripture,
that's right.
God is writing us.
That's
and
right.
When we peg him into one hole,
that's
he's
right.
writing to me.
That's right.
And he's writing it to just one
that's
translation.
Right.
As long as it goes along with our,
that's
all
right.
we know of God, mm-hmm. what he has already shown himself to be, who he has shown himself to be, if it's another translation and it is loving and it's kind
that's
of it
right.
shows us what God
that's
is
exactly
revealing
right.
himself to us,
that's
that
exactly
revelation
right.
is great. That translation,
that's exactly right.
Now,
it just gives it a full meaning.
It gives it a full meaning.
I told somebody one time, God put in King James Version what he wanted. He knew what we needed and that's what he put in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I had to understand. I had to come to realization through prayer and reading and understanding. Wait, God's, I'm limiting God to one translation.
Oh, yeah.
When
that's right.
the Hebrew itself had
that's right.
It's multiplied.
Yeah.
He just writing a book to us who spoke the Son into existence.
It's beautiful poetry.
It's beautiful poetry to us. The King James Version.
That's right.
It has opened up my eyes and changed the life mm-hmm. of my family since
right.
I understood Christ.
Yes, yes, sir.
Okay, you know. Okay, and I agree. I've always, it's how I've always been taught that. She's always been insinuated that King James came down through the centuries, therefore that's the one God wants us to have. Okay, I don't say that, and we don't say that. Okay? That's what everybody thinks, we don't. Okay, anyway, I guess what I'm saying is, I lost my mind.
King James?
King James, what you got to realize, I mean, you just got to be careful. Because these newer interpretations, if you're going by the Hebrew Bible, I don't know that all.
No, you're right.
These modern day translations.
I don't do it either. You're right. Because I can read, and this is the deal. Because I can read Hebrew. So I look at the Hebrew, and if I find one,
discern which is good.
That's right. I can.
Most of us can.
I know.
And you have to be
sure. So I'm not gonna throw something at you that I have not verified that it squares with the Hebrew. I'm not gonna do it.
Okay.
Not in here. Now some people will. Not me.
No.
I'm not gonna do it.
Okay.
Because I can read Hebrew, and I'm not gonna throw you a bunch of mess.
That's right.
So I verified it. Now when it comes to Greek, I'll admit that I don't know. I don't read Greek. Okay, I don't read Greek. So I've got to take some, and I'll tell you that I can't verify. I can't verify the Greek translations. All I can tell you is, you know, here's this, and sometimes I will say, okay, here's what this translation says, and I can't confirm it. I can confirm what the Hebrew said. Praise
Thank
God.
You, Jesus.
I've spent, what is it? What, how many years?
Well, have you been studying Hebrew?
Yeah.
Close to 40,
about
35 years.
About 28.
What kind of translation? You're talking about, if we went Bible store, okay, we want to buy some Bibles. Are there particular ones or...
I don't
know.
There's
nobody for a layman like
I love the King James. You know, I mean, that's my English version.
I do believe it.
King James.
I love it.
It's basically unsurpassed. But that doesn't mean that, you know, in every single instance, because the King James was translated by hundreds of people. Some of them were better than others. Some of them were more scholarly than others. There were 200 or 300 people involved in the translation, and they all translated a different portion. For example, in the book of Psalms, you find in two places, you find the word leasing for lying. It means lying. The only place in the Bible you find the word leasing, which means lying, is in... It's in a couple of Psalms, and they're back-to-back, basically back-to-back with one another. It was one certain guy. That was his word.
They have each one had their own vocabulary.
Sure, they did. They were human. They were human like we are. Of course, God had his hand in that.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
But not every single verse of every single version is... There are some versions that in some places surpass the King James in some verses.
Give you a more full scope.
That's exactly right. But again, now I'm talking about the Hebrew because that's the only way that I can verify is when I go to the Hebrew and I see, okay, this can't say that. There's no way it can say that. You know, they're just making this up. But thankfully I could say that about Hebrew, and praise God we're talking about the Old Testament at this point.
Wouldn't you agree that aren't you supposed to look for a Bible translation that states this is translated from the original Greek?
Yes.
Okay.
You wouldn't
want to get one that said this is a
translation of a translation.
Not a translation, but a paraphrase.
Well, you don't want... That's right. That's right. You want a real translation. You don't want some paraphrase version.
Come on now.
You don't want... And this is the problem I have with the Amplified version. Because a lot of times the Amplified version is a paraphrase.
Right.
It is
a paraphrase.
It's an interpretation.
So you got to be careful about that.
A lot of people think that right there is where they take all of the meanings of the word and or the scripture and they'll just put it in there. But no, a lot of times it's opinions.
Yeah. All right. We got to go. We got to move on. All right. Now we're talking about
how long are you going to book that, Mommy?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. How is your Bible?
That was 10:00. 14. Zechariah 14:6.
Yeah. Yeah. It shall come to pass in that day there shall not be light. The precious one shall be withdrawn.
I love that.
I don't know. I gotta move on a little further. I can't stop here. Daniel 12:1-2. We're still
Daniel.
Have I lost money and Cain?
Well, they had to go because he has school tomorrow morning. He has to get up at 3:00.
Yeah, I lost money and Cain.
Well, they have he has to get up at 3 in the morning.
Okay,
so
yeah, he does have to get up early in the morning. All right.
And I have something else to say about that. I know what I was going to say.
Okay.
Now, you know, could this not just be, I'm just help me out now.